The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here, and you know, I appreciate Dr. Wells. He is a blessing to us in the Philippines. And the first time I heard Dr. Wells preaching in Cebu City, I said, I want that man to come to our church. And I approached him and I invited him to come to our church in Lapu-San Baptist Church. You know, we're in the island of Mindanao. If you're familiar with the Philippines has a population of 100 million. And it has about 7,100 islands. We are an archipelago. And they said more than that during low tide. And there's a lot of people. And I praise the Lord that I know your pastor, and he has a heart for God and heart for people. And since then, the Lord, you know, used them mightily. And we have hosted that conference every year. And, you know, extend that to many pastors in my island. My island has 22 million population. And, you know, this is the place where the Muslims are located. And the Lord is blessing the ministry in Lapu-San Baptist Church. We have our own Bible college. And we have sent out our graduates in different locations of the island. And in fact, we have a ministry to the Muslim. It's a secret thing that they are ministering to the Muslim people in the Muslim community. And this group of Muslims got saved, and they are meeting in the mosque. Amen. But one thing good with this, they're no longer using the Quran, but they're using the King James Bible. Yeah. Amen? And, you know, they don't publish this. They don't let the community know because they would be in danger. But we have a minister that ministers to these people. And we praise the Lord for his marvelous power and the goodness that he has shown to us. And I would like to say thank you to all of the brethren, especially here in America. Every time I have the opportunity to come, I always say thank you that you have sent out missionaries to the Philippines. And the Baptist missionary came in 1901, and we received the gospel in 1901. I was not yet born in 1901, but the gospel came in 1901. And the first Baptist church was established in 1901 in Iloilo City, and it spread out to the island, and more missionaries came, and the independent Baptist missionaries came, and, you know, our missionary came in our city in 1987, actually 86 started the church in 87, and I got saved in 1988. I was 15-year-old when I received Christ as my Savior. 3 months after that, I surrendered to preach. And we have our own Bible college, and the missionary resigned in the person of missionary Bruce Rice, sent out by Wenceslas Baptist Church in Oklahoma, and started another church, and I became the pastor in 2000. You know, it's a blessing to come to America. It's my second time to visit your country, and it's a blessing to see churches. More so, I am blessed to see a church that is still strong to the doctrine of the faith. Do not change a church that is standing to the old fashion, still preaches the same Bible that we receive in the Philippines. And I thank the Lord for your pastor, for his stand and his love to the Lord. And it's a blessing to be in different churches. In fact, we were in Maryland, and I was preaching to a church, and I approached the pastor and said, you know what, I heard about the Amish people here. And I heard about Amish, but I never met them in person. I saw some pictures of these people. But, you know, I would be glad to see them and meet with them and talk to them. I said, sir, can you ask somebody to drive us to the Amish community? And our host volunteered to drive us. So she drove us there, and it was exciting. We're in the Amish community and in Maryland, and I believe it was Lancaster. And she brought us there. I was so excited. So she said, this is an Amish guy. So we stopped the car, and we get out of the car, and she introduced us to this guy. And in fact, it was her cousin, because he was a former Amish, got saved. And then we talked, and the guy said that he is an Amish minister. And then he was so excited because we are a visitor. He said, come on, get in the house, and we'll talk. And we talked, and I introduced myself. I said, my name is Denver and Dallas. introduce my wife. This is May Andales, my wife. We're from the Philippines. The guy looked at me and said, "Were you the people that Samson fought in the Bible?" I almost laughed, but I don't want to embarrass him, but I almost said, "Do I look like Goliath?" But I said, "No, sir, they were Philistines. We are from the Philippines." And I gave him a short, you know, short history of our country. I said, you know, the Spaniards came and brought the name from the King Philip of Spain. I will tell you this, that the name Philippines in the Bible. He said, "Is that so?" "Yeah, King Philip of Spain, you know, the Spaniards brought that name there from the King Philip of Spain, and King Philip of Spain got his name from Philip of Macedon, and you know, there's a churches in Macedonia, the church, one of that is Philippi, and we got the name there. We are Filipinos, and we're from the Philippines." So we had a good fellowship, but finally I met Shamami's people. But it's wonderful to meet Christians, amen? And thank you so much for having us this morning. Take your Bible, open it please to the book of John, chapter number 6. Thank you, Dr. Wells. Thank you so much for allowing us to come. You know, we love your pastor, and he's been used of God in the Philippines. Every time we heard Dr. Mike Wells, pastor would come and listen to him. And the reason why we listen to him is not of Mike Wells, but because of the God of Mike Wells. It's the touch of God in his life, and he's a blessing. And I know this church will be blessed, and I hope that you continue to support him and back him up. John chapter number 6, if you would please, shall we all stand? We'll read chapter 6 in the book of John. We'll start reading verse 1 down to verse number 9. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that this may eat?" And this he said to probe him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, watch this, and this is the message, there is a lad here, which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? I want to speak on the subject, there is a lad here. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you have given us. Thank you, God, for this church, and thank you for your man. Lord, as I stand before these people, I realize, Lord, that I'm not worthy to proclaim your word, but I pray, Father, please allow your sweet Holy Spirit to move in our midst. Lord, you know the need of your people. Your people come here today because they would like to hear from you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would save souls and you would strengthen the brethren, and Lord, revive them and encourage them. Lord, I'm here not to tell them new things, but Lord, just want to share with them what you have said in your word. Oh God, I pray, please move this morning. Lord, cleanse us, God, for all our sins. Help us, Lord, to exalt thy name. Lord God in heaven, you please speak. Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In John chapter 6, we find the most familiar miracles Jesus ever performed. In fact, we commonly refer to this passage as the feeding of 5,000. Now, it is interesting that this is the only miracle of Jesus recorded in 4 Gospels. And I hope that we will not, you know, misunderstood or miss the point of the miracle here, because this is very important. That sometimes the focus is on the miracle, but there are important things that God wants us to see in this particular passage of Scripture. It reminds me of a Sunday school teacher who was trying to illustrate the danger of drinking alcohol to her class. So the Sunday school teacher got two glasses, and one with water and the other with whiskey. Then she pulled out some earthworms and dropped some of them into the water, and they had a great time there. And, you know, he showed it to the class, and the children were clapping their hands and said, "Look at that, the earthworms enjoys their time, they're inside of the water." And then she dropped some of those worms in the glass of whiskey. Before long, those worms curled up and died. She said, "Now, class, what does this teach us?" I tell you, there was a silence inside the room. And those children were thinking, what are the lessons they got from the illustration? And one of the boys at the back to them said, "Ma'am, I learned something." And so the teacher said, "Okay, what did you learn?" The boy stood up and he said, "If you have worms, drink whiskey." He missed the point. And many times you come to church and we miss the point. Listen, as we look at this famous miracle, beloved, if we're not careful, we can easily miss the point. The miracle indicates a lack of faith, and it inspires a life of faith. In the story, you can find three important characters. Of course, the Lord Jesus is right here. He's the main character, I should say that. But also you can find different men mentioned in the Bible. The Bible mentioned the name Philip. And the Bible mentioned the name Andrew. And the Bible mentioned another character that his name actually is not written in this passage. We have no idea what was the background of this boy. The Bible called him a lad. Andrew or Philip, Andrew and the lad. Now, in the story, we find Philip. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ asked him about this crowd of people that were following Jesus Christ. They followed Christ not because they believed that he is the Messiah, but the Bible says they were following Christ because Christ is performing miracles and they want to see miracle from Jesus Christ. Now, it was already time to eat, and Jesus Christ would like to feed the multitude, and they were in the wilderness, and he asked, the Bible says, Philip. Now, he didn't ask Philip, not because he didn't know what to do. Because the Bible says, if you notice in chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? Now, he was asking Philip, was Christ troubled that they didn't have supply to feed the people? No, the Bible says in verse 6, and this he said to what? Prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. In short, he was not asking Philip because he was puzzled at the situation. Are you with me? He was not asking Philip because he didn't know how he would feed the multitude. He was asking Philip, beloved, because he would like to test Philip. Here's the problem with Philip. When Jesus Christ asked him how we could feed these people, you know what on the mind of Philip immediately? Money. Money. You know, he got his calculator and tried to count the cost and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient to feed the multitude. Here's the problem with Philip. He immediately looked at the cost. Let me tell you this. Now, if you look at the great commission of Lord Jesus Christ, he did not mention money. Don't get me wrong. We need money. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to emphasize, beloved, the master of our life is not money. In fact, Philip should understand, and Philip ought to be reminded that the master was beside him. The owner of the universe. The creator God. Who created everything from nothing. And many times we forget that our God is a creator. And many times we're thinking, if we have this amount of money, we can solve the problem. Listen, are you not glad this morning that the Master is with you and He's sufficient? Philip, look at the cost. And let me tell you this. The Lord was testing Philip, and Philip flunked the test because he was looking at the cost. Now, another man is mentioned here. His name is Andrew. Andrew found a way, and he got a lad. He said, Lord, I have a lad here that have 5 barley loaves and 2 small pieces. But he looked to the crowd and he said, but what are they among so many? You know, many times we look at what we have and we look at the huge responsibility. We look at, beloved, the numbers of people that we must reach for Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, but what are they among so many? He looked to the crowd. But I like the lad. The Bible did not mention his name. We do not know where he was from. He was there, the Bible says. I am sure the reason he came, because he believed in Jesus. The reason he came, because he believed that Jesus Christ is not just a person that can perform a miracle. Jesus Christ is the God of heaven. And he can do anything. And nothing is impossible with his God. This lad is a believer. Philip was looking to the cost. Andrew was looking to the crowd. But the lad was looking to Christ. Amen? Because it's good that in our Christian life, let us focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. The longer I pastor a church, the more I realize, beloved, we lack so many things in serving God. We lack finances. We lack facilities. Beloved, always would say, we don't have enough. But I'm glad this morning that our Savior is with us. I'm glad He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, many times, beloved, we forget Jesus Christ, that He is His Savior, beloved, and He is our provider, He is our sustainer, He is our strength. Now, you know, I think about this, why the Bible did not mention the name of the lad? Because I believe in my own, you know, this is Denver and Dallas commentary, maybe I would say this so that I can put my name to the lad's place. Because I cannot be Philip. Because particularly his name is mentioned there, I cannot be Philip. I cannot be Andrew, but I can be a lad. Let me tell you this morning, you cannot be Philip. You cannot be Andrew, but you can be a lad. Now, there are things that I learned from the lad here that I believe each of us ought to learn also. There are 3 things that we can find in the life of the lad that I believe each of us must learn this morning from the scripture. Now, first of all, I learned, number one, to embrace God's will for my life. I just want to embrace God's will for my life. Here's the situation. Now, listen. The lad was nobody. Are you with me? He was not belong to the 12 disciples. He was not belong, beloved, to the main people that Christ was always with. He was there, beloved, because he wants to listen to Jesus Christ. Maybe he heard about the miracle in the marriage of Cana. He heard about the name of Jesus. And folks, he not only heard about it, but he believed that he is the Messiah. And every time Jesus Christ, beloved, would preach, he is there and he listens to Jesus Christ. Now he has this, what we call, opportunity to embrace God's will for his life. Jesus began to ask Philip where they could buy enough bread to feed the multitude in verse 5. Philip immediately pulls out his calculator and begins to count the cost.
what it would take to feed this great company of people. Philip, the Bible says, he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. In other words, Philip made the conclusion that even they had more than 200 days worth of wages. He said, it is still was not enough to buy bread to feed all the people. You know what Philip was telling to the Lord? Lord, this is impossible. Forget about this. In fact, if you study it carefully, they suggested to send the people home. Folks, listen. You know, many times you look at your church, you come to church, and your pastor would say, let us go soul winning, let us give, let us reach out the world. And many of you would say, impossible. You know the problem with that? You're thinking it's your work. It's not your work, it's his work. You're thinking, you know what to do. I'm glad he knows what to do. Now think about that. Philip reminds us of those who constantly look at the budgets, the bank accounts, the treasury reports, weekly offering, and they would say, it cannot be done. You know, last night I felt sad. My mission secretary sent out the newsletter for the month of November and said, Pastor, look at the newsletter and maybe you have some correction that you'd like to do and let me know. You know, missions is always the main thing in our church. We give to faith promise and that's our heart. It was sad because our missions giving went down. I knelt down to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry. The missions giving went down. We need to support more missionaries. You know, the Philippines today, we're supporting. We have sent out 121 families in 35 nations. That is the combined effort of the independent fundamental Baptist churches in the inter-country. I am with the Asian Baptist Clearinghouse, and we help missionaries. We facilitate for the missionaries, and we always promote missions in our country. We started doing that in 1993. People are responding to the call, and we must support them, and we must give to missions. And I was sad. I said, Lord, our mission giving went down. But the Lord corrected my heart, and you know, the Lord says, you know what? It's not about what you're giving, but it's about me. And the important thing is, you know that this is my work, this is not your work. You're listening? The most important thing in life that I must embrace His will for my life. Sometimes the Lord is testing us. And folks, don't forget, when He tests us, He knows what to do. The one that pleases God is always our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I believe, beloved, and I still believe that the greatest capital of our churches in preaching the gospel to every creature is faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, beloved, let us always exercise that faith to our Savior. And I like what the Bible says, for He Himself knew what He would do. You know, that statement reveals that even before Jesus asked the question, He knew how Philip would respond to the situation. Think about this. If Jesus knew that, then before Andrew ever brought the little lad to Jesus, Jesus already knew that he was in the crowd, and Jesus knew that he had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Think about that. Do you listen to this? God knows your capacity. God knows your ability. God knows your talent. And I'm glad to tell you this morning, beloved, as we endeavor to reach out the world, listen, this is not our plan. This is not our program. This is God's plan and program. Mission is God's plan. Before the world was created, mission was already in existence because it comes from the very heart of God. John 3:16, many of us can quote that, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Folks, this is not our plan, but His plan. We are only doing what He tells us to do. As I said, we don't know anything about this lad. We don't know his name. We don't know his family. We don't know his friends. We don't know where he came from. But I'm glad to tell you this morning that I know about his faith. His faith, beloved, gave him message that each of us ought to follow this kind of life. The Bible says he came and brought his lunch. Take note. I believe when he came to listen to Jesus Christ and brought his lunch, I tried to think of this. Maybe he was thinking about, well, Christ would preach long. I need to make sure when he preached long, I have my meal with me and I can eat. Like what we're going to do today, this morning, you know. He said, I will bring this for myself. But think about this. But he realized the Lord needs this. But this is for myself. But he said, well, the Lord needs this. You know, he did not have this kind of opinion, okay, maybe I can give Christ 2.5 of the bread and 2.5 for me and 1 fish for Christ and 1 fish for me. No, he gave it all. You know what he did? He simply embraced God's will for his life. You know what the Lord wants in your life? All of what you have. Please be reminded, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you do not belong to yourself, for you are bought with a price. You are not of your own, the Bible says. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. Why? You belong to your Savior. And therefore, beloved, each of us ought to find His will personally. I believe to every unsaved person, it is God's will for the unsaved person to be saved. If you're a visitor this morning, listen, it's not an accident you are here. God loves you. He wants to save you. And that is the very will of God to your life, for you to be saved. Now, if you're saved this morning, I believe it is God's will for you to serve Him. I remember when I got saved and what should I do next? And, you know, the assistant pastor said, I want you to join the youth camp. I have no idea what is a youth camp, but I went. The reason I went, because he said, we play basketball there. Well, sounds good. This is my favorite sport. I can play basketball there. But I didn't know that the Lord is going to work, God is going to work in my life during that week when I attended the youth camp. The theme alone of the youth camp was already a message to my life, because the theme was saved to serve. I know I'm saved. Now I need to serve the Lord. Folks, listen. Don't get weary in well-doing. Serving God is the best kind of service we can do here on earth. You understand this? We are all nothing. Paul said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we would carry nothing out. Is anybody here when you were born, you're holding a bank account? Is there anybody here when you were born, beloved, you hold a land title in your hand? What did you bring when you were born? Nothing. You know what's the problem with our Christian life many times? The reason we cannot fulfill the will of God in our lives, because we are too selfish. Find His will personally. When you find His will, then follow His will passionately. I know your pastor, he's so passionate with souls. He always wins souls. When it comes to the Philippines, beloved, he will always go soul winning. He will always talk about souls. Why he talks about souls? That is the passion of his life. Why that is the passion of his life? Because that is the will of God for him. It's good to be passionate. Amen? Many Christians reminds me of a fellow who went to the doctor for checkup. The doctor came out with a report and said, "You're fat." The man shouted, "I want to seek an opinion." The doctor said, "Okay, you're ugly too." By the way, when serving God, you don't need to seek an opinion. When it comes to the will of God, we should never seek a second opinion. Once we find His will personally, we should follow His will passionately. Once we discover His will, we should do His will. Amen? Amen. Embrace His will for your life. Secondly, that I learned from this passage is this. I learned about encountering His work in my life. In verse 11, the Bible says, Jesus took the loaves. What's this? And when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. What's this? Jesus took the loaves. Maybe you would think, wasn't that an insult that the boy would just give 5 loaves and 2 small fishes to the Lord that He owns everything? Because this kind of giving is insignificant giving. Are you with me? It is nothing. But one thing good you can find, folks, is this. He received it from the boy. He did not reject it. Are you not glad this morning? Whatever be your life, your past, beloved, the Lord saved you, and He doesn't want to reject you. He wants to use you. He wants your life be involved in His service, in His work. We often think of Jesus as a giver, but in this particular passage, it's good that we find Christ, that He is a taker. He is a receiver. Folks, listen to this. He is happy to see His people giving to Him so that He can do something great in your life. There's a work. There's an opportunity. There's a work that must be done. The lad heard about it. He heard about Philip. Oh, Philip was looking to the cause. Philip should believe that He is a Savior. Why you did not see that, Philip? Philip was so worried. He's thinking that the solution is money in his hand. Oh, the boy said, "Philip, you don't see that He is the God of the universe? He is the Creator God. He's the Savior of the world." You look at Andrew. He gave that to Andrew. Andrew gave it to the Christ. And Andrew, beloved, brought him to Jesus Christ. And Andrew said, "But Lord, this boy would like to give his 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Oh, the boy said, "Andrew, you missed the point. Andrew, you don't know that He is my Savior. He is my Creator." Listen, He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with my God. To Philip, it was impossible. Therefore, he said, "Better send him home. It's impossible that we can feed all of them." And here is another guy by the name of Andrew. He said, "Lord, we have 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And look at the crowd. And he said, "Illogical, illogical. It doesn't work." And let me tell you, the serving God is not based on logic. Serving God is always based by faith. Are you with me? Andrew said, "Illogical." But the boy gave that 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and said, "Possible. It's possible. It can be done." It can be done. It's not because of my giving. It can be done. It's not because of me. It can be done because of my Savior. You must encounter His work in your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Folks, if there's an opportunity that you can give more. If there's an opportunity that you can win souls. Every time there's a possibility that you can involve in the work, go for it, grab it, embrace it. Don't miss it. To the lad, he doesn't want to miss this. He doesn't want to miss this. I want to encounter this. I want to get involved in this work that the Lord Jesus Christ is now telling us to do. Oh, I hope this morning you're not like Philip. Oh, I hope this morning you're not like Andrew. Oh, I hope this morning you would say, Lord, I want to be a lad. Amen. Listen. Listen when the Lord speaks. Listen when the Lord speaks. Listen to this. The Lord was not talking to the boy directly. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to this man. But the boy was there listening. Oh, the Lord is looking for something. The Lord is needing for something. The boy was listening. I am listening this morning. I am listening to his call. I am listening to the cry of the world. I am listening that more than half of the world's population never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to the call of God to go to Southeast Asia? Are you listening? And you know many times, the reason, beloved, we cannot encounter His work in our life because we are not listening. I'm reminded of the man who was so concerned that his wife was losing her hearing. He shared his concern with the doctor and asked the doctor's advice what to do. So the doctor wrote out some steps to take to find out his wife was having hearing problems. When he got home, his wife was in the kitchen preparing dinner. So he thought, wow, this is an excellent time to try the doctor's instructions. She walked over and stood about 10 feet from his wife and asked, what's for dinner? There was no reply. And the man said, wow, my wife has a hearing problem. So he moved about 8 feet from her and asked, what's for dinner? Still no reply. He moved about 5 feet from her and asked, what's for dinner? Again, there was no reply. I said, oh, my wife has a hearing problem. He was convinced that his wife has a hearing problem, so he moved up right behind her and asked, what's for dinner? Then she turned around and said, for the fourth time, I said chicken. You know, many times, many times the issue is not what we hear, but how we hear. The issue is not whether or not God is speaking, but whether or not we are hearing and heeding what God is saying. You're listening. Listen when the Lord speaks. If you want to get involved in His work, listen. Then lose what the Lord seeks. Lose it. You know what the Lord was looking? He was looking for somebody who would be available and say, you can do it, Lord. Lord, you can do it. He's looking for somebody who would say, Lord, I have my small ability, but I will put in your hand because you can do it. Lose what the Lord seeks. Lose it. I remember when I got saved, I was timid. I cannot stand before people like this. I felt the Lord's call in my life and was debating on God. I said, Lord, you don't know me. I cannot stand before the crowd. But the calling was so strong in my heart that I finally decided I will surrender, and I came to the altar and I said, Lord, I will give you my life. I do not know how you can use me. And I praise the Lord that I did it. I simply lose my life to the hand of God. Folks, lose what you have. Lose what you have. Listen when the Lord speaks. Lose what the Lord seeks. Then the last, and I'll close with this about the lad. Not only he embraces will for his life, not only he encounters his work in his life, but also this lad experiences wonders through his life. Wonders, think about this. I believe the lad has three things he could do for his lunch. One, he could eat it. Two, he could give it himself to the crowd, and it's not sufficient. Three, he could give it to Jesus Christ. And he did. If he himself would give it, it's not sufficient. But the lad was not focusing on the crowd, he was focusing on Christ. And he said, now the Lord's hand is open and the Lord has wanting me. And the lad has the opportunity to see the wonders. And he will see, wow, he created, maybe think about John chapter 2. He created water into wine. Now, I want to see how the Lord could use my lunch to feed the entire multitude. Listen, it's not only 5,000 men, including their wives and children. There were about 20,000 people in the crowd. You know what the lad did? Andrew, you're looking to the crowd. I'm looking to Christ. Give it to Christ. Philip, you're thinking impossible. This is possible because he is the Creator God. He gave it to the hand of Jesus Christ. You know, watch this. The Lord taught a lesson to all the disciples. Listen to this. Look at the distribution. Are you with me? I'm almost done. Look at the distribution in your Bible. Look at your Bible, verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men that sat down in number was about 5,000. Now watch this. The Bible says, verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. I believe the distribution itself was a teaching lesson to the disciples. Why you won't believe on me? Every time they receive the distribution, they are reminded of the faith of the Lord. It's because of the faith of the lad. Look at this. They saw the wonders. You know, I think about our churches in the Philippines. We are in poverty. We are in a third world country. As I pray for our missionaries and knelt down, said, Lord, what we have is like what the lad had. Not much. You here in America, you work and you are paid per hour. In the Philippines, beloved, your 1 hour work, listen, your 1 hour work is equivalent to 8 hours of work of our people. Your 1 hour work is equivalent of 8 hours of work. That's a day of work of our people. But they gave to missions. I remember when I listened to your pastor when he was in evangelism. Every time I met somebody that God is using him so mightily, I don't want to miss the opportunity. I stood up to the church and said, you know what? I will recommend church that will support Dr. Mike Wells. Don't look at the color of his skin. Don't look at his nationality. But let's look at the opportunity. Because every time he preaches, every time he wins souls, I want to have a part of it. Folks, do you want to see the wonders? In this particular passage, we will not read it because of time. We see the glorious provision of God. The multitudes were fed. They were all fed. Think about that. You know, sometimes you would think how the world could be rich. It's not because we have the resources. Don't forget, because we have a God. Not only you can find the glorious provision, but you can find the generous portion for the lad. You know, a lot of commentaries when you read, because there were 12 baskets left over, fragments. One preacher in the Philippines said, 12 baskets of fragrance. No, not fragrance, fragments. Sometimes we mispronounce it. Fragments left over. And some would say, there were some kind of commentary that said, who owns the 12 basket? Some said, well, there were 12 disciples. Maybe it was for them. Each of them got one basket because there were 12 baskets left over. For me, I look at it, beloved, for me, I believe this. Because of this verse. Look with me, Luke. I'm almost done. Luke 6:38, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with this measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Who do you think owns the 12 basket? I believe not Philip. I believe not Andrew. I believe it was the lad. When you give, you are blessed. So why 12? So that each one would carry one basket and they would follow the boys as the boy would walk to the house. They carry it. He owns it. That's my commentary. Listen. I try to picture out. Maybe he went home and said, Mama, guess what happened? I tell you, Mama, remember, you fixed me 5 loaves and 2 small pieces? Mama, look at what happened. I simply give it to Jesus. And Mama, what happened? He feed the multitudes, 20,000 people. Guess what happened? I did not lose my giving. I did not lose my giving. Look at my gain. Look at my gain. Yes. Folks, you wouldn't lose anything when you're giving to the Lord. I believe your church has a great need. Give as much as you can. I never heard a Christian get bankrupt because he gave to the Lord. Is anybody here get bankrupt because you give? But I know a lot of Christians got broke because they're not obeying God in their giving. Let me tell you this morning, embrace His will for your life. Encounter His word through your life. And I believe you are going to see the wonders. I want to see the wonders. The reason why they saw the wonders? Because the Bible says, there is a lad here. There is a lad here. I hope there's a lad inside here this morning. I hope that lad is a picture of you. Is a picture of you. Be available to the Master. Let Him use your life. Folks, listen. He will use you. He will use you. Simply be available this morning. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, Father, get in heaven.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.